Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right. Good timing. So, if you're ready, we'll just get right down to it.
All right. Can you hear me? All right.
I could hear you perfectly fine. Can you hear
okay.
me all right?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. All right. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring or fall, and your major.
I graduated in the spring of 2008, and I was a music business management major.
Great. And do you recall which track you did in music business?
I was on the entrepreneurial track at the time.
Very cool. And what was your principal instrument?
My principal instrument was guitar.
Nice. All right. We will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
I work for Legendary Entertainment, the company that makes movies like Godzilla and King Kong. But I work in the Applied Analytics Department, which is based in Boston. Basically, we offer software and data warehouse services for analytic solutions. And then we offer analytics-based marketing strategic marketing service.
You're talking a company that's making movies. So is this like for marketing their movies?
Well, we began doing these types of things, running marketing campaigns for Legendary, and their partners like Warner Brothers and various, you know, not just entertainment companies. But then we sort of branched into we developed a product solution that we sell. It's kind of, we provide the services to Legendary, the movie company, but we don't really do something that is specific to the movie industry. And we're sort of a completely independent department, as it were.
So, yeah, like a business within the business.
Correct.
Understood. So, and you said in terms of data analytics, could you sort of explain a little bit more what that means?
Yes. So we build platforms for ingesting data from basically any source. The sources in the case of movie industry could be data about movies, financial data like box office receipts. In the case of other partners, we work with a bunch of Major League Baseball teams. So we have like baseball data, stat data, like player position and ball position for every play, like 10 times a second. And we pull data from all different kinds of sources. And depending on the client, we build an analytic solution that allows them to look at that data.
I'm sorry, they're looking at the data for...
So it could be anything. In the case of the movie industry, a lot of it's box office receipts, polling projections. They do a bunch of like market surveys, like the Nielsen NRG Nielsen Resource Group produces like surveys of, you know, people's interest in movies and stuff. And we create a platform that allows people to visualize different sets of data together. But then on the marketing strategy side, people that we call quants, who are statisticians, they do their magic to produce models around which they run the strategy. People run marketing campaigns.
Gotcha. And what's your exact job title?
So I am a software developer. I work on the development team and of about 10 of us, and we build the product and then and support the strategy and quant people with, you know, IT infrastructure, you know, servers and stuff.
Gotcha. I'm sure. I'm just curious, is it the waterfall or the agile?
It's more agile, definitely.
Agile, which is sort of minor upgrades that happen very frequently.
Yeah.
And, okay, so, and let's see, so your software, the programming you do, Are you front end or back end?
So they call it a full stack developer. In the beginning, I was mostly doing back end stuff, writing processes that would import data into our various kinds of data warehouse. I also then I started doing more front end stuff, and now I'm actually primarily tasked with operations stuff. So things that deploy our software, they're actually like pretty large clusters of servers that work together, the data warehouses in particular, and I write the software that automates the deployment of those things. So I also will occasionally dabble in the app again, but I've been focused more on the operations automation type stuff.
Is that what they call a system administrator, or am I thinking something different?
I pretty much fulfill most of the roles of a system administrator, but then I do a little more, like just to operationalize our process of deploying software and deploying clusters of servers and stuff. But I give people their passwords and stuff too.
Understood. Okay, and let's see, how many hours a week do you typically work?
So I'm in the office a normal 40, but I also work from home pretty, I don't want to say continuously, but as anything arises, or I'm always in communication with the other guys on the team. And if they ask for something, I mean, if I'm not asleep, there's a chance that I'll do it. So it's hard to say exactly. I would say probably between 50 and 60 hours altogether.
Got
there
it.
Are times when it's more busy, but I don't track it.
Yes. Understood. Yeah. No, you're professional, but you're on call, right? If something goes horribly wrong, you're probably the person they reach out to.
Yep, and there's times where we're just pushing a little harder to get something out the door, or, you know, and I'm working a little longer, but.
Understood. Okay, so one thing to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to hear, what is it about your field, or if you prefer your job, that you enjoy?
With respect to the field, software development, software engineering is so logical. And there's just a huge abundance of resources that really lay everything out for you. And if you're willing to put in the time, you can find the answer. And that is sort of like, you know, magical, and has this quality that allows you to like build on things that you've learned and continue to learn like continuously. With respect to my job, right now, I just work with most, if not all, of the smartest people I've ever known. And I'm just super lucky to be on their team. Like, they're out of my league, to be honest. And I, I mean, realistically, like, they are just consummate software developers and statisticians and business people, and yeah, so
it can be very inspiring being surrounded by great people.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, it is. It also gives you a sense that, like, you know, they are also just people who work hard. You know, there isn't some they don't have some special recipe. They just work hard, and they, you know. Diligently.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's zoom in now. Can you take us through like what your typical day at work looks like?
Yep. I come in around 8:30. We have a project management solution that we use called Redmine. I look through my Redmine queue at the tickets outstanding that I have.
Tickets are like things to do.
Yeah, work orders. They're like requests for, new pieces of software, new infrastructure, like clusters of servers, or tasks. They could be small things, big things. Some take months, some take minutes, but they are also prioritized. So I sort of sort them in a prioritized order and start hammering away. Usually, I've always got something on my plate that someone else is waiting for. And so I mean, that's usually the main way that I prioritize things. So I will go through and typically have a few things like this. I will build some clusters of servers by running software that I've written to do so. Sometimes I'll have to modify that software to handle a new type of situation or circumstances configuration that we're using at the time. And then I sort of just keep plugging through that. I work till about 11:45, take lunch, usually with the group. And then I work till 4:30. I don't have, on the dev team, I'm one of the least involved with other departments because I do the operational stuff primarily at this point. I will occasionally interface with people on the strategy or quant teams if they need resources like servers, or if we have new people who need access to existing resources. And then that's a pretty much a normal day. I usually also like come home and do a few things to clean up. And occasionally I have like I said, I'm on call. So if there are problems, I'll just have to respond to everybody and sort of investigate what the issue is and pass it along. Usually I'm like the first line of defense for incoming mission critical kind of issues.
Sure. All right. And by the way, when you talk about your team, like on these various items that you work on, to what extent are you working with other people, and to what extent do you get your assignment and off you go?
So I work by myself for, I would say, probably about 80% of the time. And then I work on projects with people, the much smaller 20%. I report directly to another person who also does operations stuff. And we do that sort of together, but then any other small non-operations based, so like front end or back end development that I do, is usually just a one-off project for me to handle.
Understood. All right. Well, hey, let's take it back now to 2008.
Yep.
Or earlier if you want. I mean, I'm guessing you weren't thinking full stack programmer / systems administrator. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, at the time, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. I was still thinking that I was probably going to go to business school and go for my MBA. I fell.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, well, take it from what you were thinking there, where you were, and just kind of go one step at a time to where you are now.
Yep, so while I was in the music business program, I had to do an internship, and I was lucky to do an internship at a startup in Boston called SonicBids that was started by a Berkeley alumni.
Panos Panay, right?
Yes, that's correct.
He's back at Berkeley now.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. So I was lucky there. I was doing my internship, and I had this background from – in high school, I went to a magnet school for math and computer science. Before I went to Berkeley, I briefly went to University of Maryland and was sort of intending to be a computer science major. So I had this background in computer science, and they wanted someone, one of the interns, to consider focusing on the engineering department, and so I was keen on that. When my internship ended, they immediately offered me a position as a quality assurance analyst in the QA department, and that was sort of how I got back into software.
So that's just your internship ended, or are we just saying, like, right as you finished Berkeley?
Yeah, I think my internship ended that May, probably, when school ended, and I started in June right away pretty much at SonicBids.
And you were, well, you were still in the music industry at that point, although you were certainly in the software end of it. How long did that go on for?
So I worked at SonicBids until 2010. Mm-hmm. And I just continued in the engineering department, continued doing quality assurance. We had some shuffling around that took on more responsibility, and I sort of began thinking of myself around that time as more of a technologist, although I still wasn't convinced that I was going to be doing that. I still sort of imagined going back to business school or something at that point. So then I, in 2010, moved home to Maryland, where I'm from, to get married. And around that time, I began I started a company with a partner that provided like web development and video development services for local businesses. So we shot some cheesy commercials for local businesses, and I built some websites. And that's what I did for.
And you chose to. So it sounds like you left SonicBids voluntarily because you wanted to be with your wife in Maryland.
Yep, I wasn't really committed to engineering or staying in Boston, and yeah, at that time, so I just moved home to Maryland.
And I do just want to note that it sounds like the company you were starting was not a music company. Was this just like, it wasn't a big deal, it was where the opportunity was, or?
So I was interested in the video production dimension, and that my partner sort of focused on, and then I could provide this additional service of like building little HTML websites, nothing like fancy, for like, you know, dirt bike motocross leagues and local pest control companies.
Okay.
But yeah, I wasn't really like, there wasn't, I don't know, it was sort of just a, it worked and it was what I fell into at the time.
That's cool. All right, so you're not doing your startup anymore, but how did that go?
So that went well enough, although it wasn't super interesting to me. You know, like I said, these were really small companies and these were really easy projects. And at some point around this time, I was introduced to the founder of a startup in D.C. Called Blastroots, that he was trying to build a platform for crowdsourcing public policy campaigns. If you think of like vote.org, or there's a zillion platforms now like for creating online petitions and or contacting representatives. So I went to, at this point, went to work for Blastroots as a technical product manager. I sort of, you know, explaining my QA background and my growing familiarity with software development processes.
Right, product managers kind of oversee the whole process of development.
Yep, and so I would basically just help write specifications that I knew developers could follow and build to. And that was sort of the service that I provide. I would listen to the founder was a sort of like Republican war dog, political operative guy who was a adjunct professor at Georgetown. So he was in the public policy domain, and he would have these ideas, but he couldn't really easily translate it into instructions for software developers to build things. So I would, you know, interface between the developers and the management team in general and explain the different trade-offs for different design choices and different functionality choices, and then help write the technical specifications that the managers would say, you know, this is acceptable. And that was pretty exciting, and I enjoyed that for a while, but it really didn't develop into anything. They raised a lot of angel investing, but couldn't seem to ever get further. We basically ran out of money. And at that point, I was sort of like committed to the software development, project management track. And I,
by the way, can I just ask how you found out about that job?
So I found out, one of the founders and early investors' wife worked with my wife.
Got Got it. The
a coincidence.
network.
Yes.
Totally understood. Okay, so, and by the way, about what time, what's the timeline for that job? We're talking 2011 now.
Yeah, so I started there sometime around the end of 2011, maybe. And I continued there until I want to say 2012.
Okay.
Mid 2012.
Sure.
So when that ended, we ran, like I said, we ran out of money. And I had started looking for a job kind of like early on, knowing in anticipation of that. I found work as a technical product manager at a mid-level marketing agency, in like a regional marketing agency in the Maryland, DC area. And they had a lot of decent clients, and the work was relatively easy compared to the other types of software that I had been building. These were pretty rote projects, mobile websites, and marketing campaigns based on like Flash interactive stuff that was very repetitive. But it was I mean, I enjoyed working there because it was pretty consistent, and this was sort of, I lived in my hometown. It was sort of like a normal, you could do this in almost any major city kind of job. And then out of the blue, the CTO at SonicBids, who I had, the CTO I had worked under at SonicBids, who had headed the engineering department, contacted me and said he was putting together a team for Legendary Pictures. And this was like very early in the creation of the Applied Analytics department. And it was kind of like an amazing opportunity and a totally different class of job. And he was sort of insistent that I work as a software developer instead of as any kind of product manager or quality assurance person.
Well, that's interesting, but software development's an entirely different skill.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a very steep learning curve early on. But I mean, I worked sort of one-on-one with him and with others early on to ramp up quickly. Like I said, I had this sort of like background in computer science. I had been doing more and more on my own. It began, like I said, building like web pages, which, necessitated a little bit of JavaScript and front-end stuff. And then in my sort of dabblings in quality assurance, I wrote some unit tests and some things that looked a little more like back-end stuff. And when I was in high school, I had actually taken like AP programming, so I had a solid background in the basic concepts of computer science.
Good
But
beef.
there was still
Yep.
a lot to learn.
How did you do that learning? Was this
Pretty much all, I mean, I would do work one-on-one with the now VP of software development at Legendary. And I would work one-on-one with some of the other senior developers on the team. But for the most part, they would just give me a project and I would just have to go learn how to build the thing.
It's like Google about it.
I would Google, I would read white papers and bought a few books in a few instances. So pretty much through any means necessary. I mean, Googling and reading Stack Overflow and reading the documentation of various libraries and technologies is pretty much 90% of it, but
Sure. And I think you said this job is in Boston, right? So you moved back up.
yep. So that was part of it, was moving back to Boston, which was exciting, but I had never anticipated once I had left. I was never like planning on moving back, but it was such a cool opportunity that I sort of left at the chance. And yeah, we're based at, right at Copley Square, 535 Boylston.
Gotcha. So you just learned that, started that. It sounded like you since slid into more, so you started more back end, and then that, as you got more skills and familiarity, they moved you into doing other things.
Yeah, in back end primarily early on with a little bit of front end stuff and then more front end stuff and then more deep and serious back end stuff and then sort of the operations stuff that was kind of my thing alone, the automating deployment of clusters and stuff like that to the cloud model.
Sure. And here you are.
Yep, and here I am.
Excellent. Well, all right, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. My first question for you here now is, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
So I sort of collect more, so to speak, ukuleles. And by collect, I mean I have like six or seven ukuleles. And I play the guitar. I've been brushing up on my chops recently because I'm expecting a child, my first child in a month, and I'm sort
Congratulations.
looking forward to sort of like playing lullabies and like the like.
And when you say you're playing more of your guitar, this is like playing it alone as opposed to
Yeah.
out at
Yeah.
clubs.
Yep. I don't have really any. It was something I sort of learned at Berkeley was I really was interested in music and how music works and the ability to play music for myself. But I don't really have much of a desire to perform for people, even around the house. I mean, I'll play songs for my wife and, like I said, I'd like to play lullabies for my kid, but I don't really like want to be a showman. I kind of just enjoy exploring music and using that as kind of a therapeutic thing.
Understood. For what it's worth, I've heard other folks say the exact same thing. All right. Well, next question I have for you is, thinking back to your education, I see Berkeley gave that bachelor's music degree, and here you are, programming computers. But when you look back to Berkeley relative to going to another school, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did well to prepare you for your current job?
Yeah, you can, somebody can explain harmony to you, and people can tell you how to play an instrument, but to acquire the ability to play an instrument, you have to, like, there's no way to get around practicing yourself and undertaking the learning process yourself. In that case, because it's such a physical thing, there's that demand for practice where there isn't in some other disciplines, but it forces you to learn how to learn something and to learn how to, discipline yourself to learn something, to practice, to, look, read and learn how to investigate, whether that's building a network of people or, sort of, I don't know, Googling and rooting around in libraries. That was sort of the first place that I learned how to learn for myself.
Sure. All right, great answer. All right, let's turn that question around now, because obviously Berkeley gives that one degree of bachelor's in music, and you went there knowing that. But all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley experience, is there anything where you say, "Hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't"? Anything missing or inadequate in the education?
I am struggling to think of something. I mean, Berkeley, I felt like I had a pretty well-rounded education despite being a business, more or less business major at a music school. There weren't, some of my business classes could have been more rigorous. I think maybe particularly in the entrepreneurial, with respect to starting your own businesses, they sort of gave me a rosy impression of the difficulty. I guess it was also, so I graduated right before, I graduated in the spring of 2008, and in the fall, or by the fall or winter of 2008, like the economy wasn't doing awesome.
Right.
So nobody really anticipated that, so I can't really blame anyone for it. But earlier in the year, I think people's sense of how easy it would be to start a business in like a year or over the next year was probably different than later. So, but I mean, like I said, that's not something they didn't teach. So it's, yeah, I mean, as a music school, I think I got a pretty well-rounded education.
Okay, cool. All right, so the next question for you is, you got on this technical path pretty quickly. It's, you say a little bit predating your Berklee experience, and then as your very first internship, you kind of became the tech guy. And, went through various versions of that, from quality assurance to product management, ultimately to writing code and to administering the systems. But let's say it was different steps all on the same path.
Mm-hmm.
And you found that very quickly. As I'm sure you're aware, there are a lot of other recent Berklee grads who have not yet found their path.
Mm-hmm.
And even people maybe in their last year at Berklee looking out into the big scary world going, oh my God, what comes next? So for either or both of those groups, do you have any advice?
So to the people at Berklee who may not have fallen into a path yet, I would say to keep an open mind. While I was at Berklee, even after immediately after Berklee, even while I was doing the beginning to get back into the technical sort of software development stuff, I wouldn't have thought that that was going to be what I did long term, or that I'd have any kind of passion for it. But I've always sort of had felt like a responsibility to be well-rounded. And so I've always been sort of open to seeing what a discipline or a field has to offer. And I think that that's a important piece of advice. Just consider the depth of the art of whatever it is. It could be business or music or movies or software development or, anything, literally. And there usually is like a good amount of like really fascinating human thought and, work and development in that field, no matter what it is. And if you can get, find the right vein or thread of, things, a lot of disciplines are really interesting. And I think it's worth keeping an open mind and don't feel like because you had a background in X, you can't possibly learn Y. Sort of like if you're willing to put in Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours, you can become a master of anything, and you have time to master many things in your life.
Sure. Great answer. And hey, let's focus in a little more.
Yeah.
Because, should I slot you in as a full stack programmer or as a system administrator?
I would say full stack programmer.
Understood. So, let's say you're my 72nd or 73rd interview.
Mm-hmm.
And my third or fourth full stack programmer.
Hmm.
But let's say that, you know, very few people are going to listen to all 72 plus interviews. The people who are listening to this are the ones who went down to Full Stack Programmer and clicked on this interview. Right? So for people who are perhaps thinking about programming as a field, what would you say to them? Not programmers, but they're thinking about, hey, maybe this programming sounds good, good job security, pretty good money, you know, I like the logical thing, I think I have a mind for it, but, you know, how do I get into this?
I mean, building things. Find a little project. The one thing that is inevitable is that you will have to learn many languages, many technologies, libraries, so you might as well get used to learning new ones. And if you don't enjoy the process of learning new ones, it may not be the profession for you. So right away, find something that you think would be cool to build. There are lots of, if you have a sense of the types of technology that you would like to develop, that can help you narrow it down. People have, you know, software development challenges, suggestions for little projects to flex your muscles and to learn some things. But just start building things, like come up with a problem and write a solution or deploy a solution, tweak it, make it your own, see if you enjoy that process. And if you don't, then reconsider. But if you do and you take a little pride every time you make something that works and every time you tweak it in your own little way, then that is really the path to success and greatness. If you can get really into the little things that you build, the person that I report directly to has a high school diploma and knows a great deal more than me. He just builds and builds and builds. You read and learn to facilitate building.
I like to say, just on a tangent, when you mentioned your boss, that I like to joke that computers is the last meritocracy.
Yeah,
the last industry where they don't care what you've done, you know, what your background is, they're just like, what can you do?
Yep, and what can you do? Usually if you can do it, then you can explain how you did it, because all it really is a series of, you know, logical statements and programs and, you know, technologies that relate to one another that you have to understand to make it work. Mm-hmm. So if you can explain how you did it, then that's usually like all the evidence that someone needs that you can do the thing. Like,
very cool. All right. Just have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic and you're being recorded. So is there anything we missed? Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I would say no matter what track you get into, whether you find that Berkeley led you there or was a detour, it's worth appreciating the diversity of people and ideas that you're exposed to at Berkeley. It's different than other colleges in that it's so international. It is particularly liberal, in the liberal arts sense. And it's worth appreciating that, even if you get into something serious like software development or...
I'm sorry, you broke up for just a sec. I heard it's liberal NA, and then you broke up.
Yeah. So there's a good diversity of ideas and people and experiences at Berkeley, and even though it's super sort of liberal in the liberal arts sense of it, because it's music above everything, it's worth appreciating, even if you get into something serious like economics or software development or, you know, teaching. My brother also went to Berkeley, for what it's worth, and he's now a calculus teacher. So.
Okay. I'm just curious, what year did he graduate?
He graduated in 2011.
Okay, very cool. I may have you hook us up.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Great. Well, hey, Bob, I really enjoyed this conversation.
Well, thank you.
Great to hear that. Hey, look for a message from me on LinkedIn in the immediate future.
Cool. Thank
and
you.
Best of luck with everything.
Yep. Take it easy. Have a good one, Kevin.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.